Hello, and welcome to Business Talk, brought to you by Business West and Living Local. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS, and I'd like to introduce our host of Business Talk. He's the editor and associate publisher of Business West. Here's George O'Brien.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Business Talk. We have a great show for you here today, one that's been in the works for a while, actually. In the spirit of full disclosure, we've been trying to get Ray Barry, he's the owner and founder of White Lion Brewing, on the show for a few weeks now. Ray, you've probably just been a little too busy here, and I can understand that. You've had a lot going on.
Yeah, we had a lot of, well, first of all, thank you, George. As always, you've been a supporter from day one. But yeah, we had a lot of competing priorities over the leading up to our grand opening a week ago. So there was a lot of moving parts and late nights, early mornings. And so we're just happy to get that behind us, all the support, and looking forward to the next chapter.
Okay. The next chapter, let's talk about some of the early chapters. I don't think there's anybody in this region who does not know the White Lion Brewing story, but if you could tell it quickly, this is a great story. Just speaking personally, I've talked to Ray many times over the last several years. I love entrepreneurial stories, and this is a good one. Someone who's just wanted to get their own beer label, their own craft beer label off the ground, overcoming a lot of hurdles to do it, making a stake right here in downtown Springfield. Ray is nodding his head. You can't see him. That line about overcoming a lot of hurdles. We'll get to that in a minute, but kind of give us the real quick version just for the two people in the 413 who haven't heard the story yet.
So we started as a beer brand. The goal was to always have a brick and mortar, a physical location in the city of Springfield. But I didn't have the resources to just, plop down and, build a full-blown facility. So we wanted to build the brand, zero in on the city of Springfield as our home, the brand to unite folks, bring people together, enjoy each other's company. We did a lot of community engagement. And, fast forward 5 years from the origin of the idea and getting our liquid on the ground, we were fortunate enough to line up a relationship with Tower Square in downtown Springfield and slowly start to build out the infrastructure. Even with COVID delaying us a little bit, we were able to push through that. And as stated earlier, be in a position to open up a week ago and welcome craft beer, welcome brewing back to downtown Springfield. Have the city of Springfield again represented in the craft beer ecosystem in Western Mass, and try to build on all of the other moving parts downtown and create an additional destination for folks to appreciate.
So Springfield, I didn't know it had a rich history of brewing. Do you want to enlighten me? We know it was famous for gun making and many other things, but tell us about its brewing history.
Absolutely. The city of Springfield had a very, very rich history of brewing, more so domestic beers, pre-prohibition. And there were a number of breweries, some of them in downtown Springfield, that were producing a tremendous amount of beer, in excess of 80, 90, 100,000 barrels, which is a lot of liquid out there. Prohibition hit, took hold, and a couple breweries after Prohibition tried to reestablish themselves, but were unable to. After a year or two, they had to disband or dismantle, divest. So there was that large bandwidth of time before the city of Springfield had the ongoing conversation. And it just so happens that the craft beer conversation was expanding, not only through Western Massachusetts in general, but also throughout the United States. So there were a number of breweries popping up, but there's really no true conversation taking place in the city of Springfield. And that was one of the kickstarts for me, was to try to get something established right here in the third largest city in the Commonwealth.
Well, you're off to a good start from what I've seen. You had a great ribbon cutting grand opening. You had Jim Cook from Sam Adams come out. That must have been good to have. Can we call him the father of craft brewing in Massachusetts come out? But you had the mayor. You had a lot of other dignitaries. That must have been good.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a great feeling. It was a great feeling for the team. It's a team approach. Jim Cook is the godfather. And we were very fortunate enough along the way through our journey and our travels to be part of one of his programs called Brewing the American Dream that allows startups like ourselves to receive some consultation and advice from he himself and his team. We were also able to be part of a pitch contest where we were one of the Massachusetts finalists on a national scene to, you know, just to share our story. So he's just he's a guy that's always willing to give back, always willing to have a conversation and provide advice. So very fortunate enough, I think it just made sense for him to be part of our journey and bringing everything full circle.
Okay. So tell me, how far has your label gone here in Massachusetts and the Northeast now? You've got it in a lot of different restaurants and bars and package stores. How prevalent is the brand?
Yeah, over the last 3 years, we put a strong sales team on the ground. So Western Mass, we're very pleased with our footprint in the four counties of Berkshire, Franklin, Hampden, and Hampshire. We do have some reach out in Worcester County, and we probably have another 100 to 150 accounts out in the eastern part of the state. We are currently in conversations with a distributor in Connecticut, as well as a distributor that will give us a stronger hold in the eastern part of the state, allowing us to concentrate our sales team in just Western Mass. So, you know, over the next 12 to 18 months, you will see, or we will be announcing some key strategic partnerships that will afford us an opportunity to expand our brand outside of the Worcester West corridor.
Talk a little bit about the playing field when it comes to the craft brewing industry. There's a lot of competition out there, and there it seems to be new brands almost weekly or monthly. How do you stand out in a field like that? And, you know, it's just exploded over the last 10 years. And like I said, how do you make your brand stand out among all those trees in the forest?
You're right, George. There are over 8,000 breweries in the United States. There are over 200 breweries in Massachusetts, and it is a competitive nature out there, but so is any other industry, right, or any other trade. So, you know, we're very fortunate enough that we're able to anchor ourselves in a great area of Massachusetts. Craft beer is built on local. We add in the extra element. We're heavily involved in the community. We wouldn't be here if it were not for the community. My background, as you know, and many folks may know, is in the quasi-public and nonprofit sector. So a lot of the tentacles and principles of White Lion revolve around community, revolve around assisting and moving the needle to better the greater good. So, you know, that may be one of our differentiating elements. We also have a very strong brand that we try to exercise and tell the story about what the principles of White Lion is all about. It's about inclusiveness. It's about inclusion. It's about an extension beyond race, color, creed, or gender, a symbol of good for humankind. So we're a welcoming brand. We're a brand that wants to bring everyone to the table and enjoy themselves. Again, that could be but, you know, we just want to go out and demonstrate that we're a business that really, truly cares. And we want to lead by example. And that's what we try to do every day, that we have an opportunity to share our beer, share our conversation, share our space, et cetera. But there are some different. But let me just go another level. There are different business models out there. So when you hear about 8,000 breweries or 200 breweries in Massachusetts, everyone's not doing the same thing. You have breweries where they're just brands. So you don't have a physical location to go see them. There are breweries that are just tap room only. So you won't see their branding or their packaging at your local package store or your local restaurant. You have to go and see them direct. There are breweries that do distribution only. and they just have a physical plant, and you don't have the opportunity to go sit in a tap room. And then you have breweries that have a tap room, distro. So there's different models out there and different cases. So we're all not in one lane. There are many lanes on this highway, and there are a number of, I mean, tons of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of craft beer fans out there that allow us to survive every day.
And like you said earlier, you're not just brewing beer. You want to be a destination and bring people into Springfield. Are you seeing that already at your Tower Square location? Or?
Yeah, it's been incredible. Even before we opened, we were doing what was called Cans to Go. And even though there wasn't too much activity going on in downtown in the latter part of the winter heading into the spring, we would do Cans to Go 2 days a week. And there would be some folks coming in from Connecticut or New York or Vermont or New Hampshire, just so happened to say they were traveling and noticed that there was a brewery in downtown and wanted to stop in just to hear our story, to see if we were open, and would buy cans to go. So that was refreshing to see people from outside coming in. And then since we've opened, it's just been outstanding, the support from the greater Springfield West. We had some folks come in from New York and Worcester the other day that just wanted to take the travel into the city and stop at our location. And then they ask about other venues in the area. And we share with them what's out there. And that's really what it's all about. We want people to come in groups or whether they're by themselves or on a date night. And, you know, maybe they go to the Fort, then come to White Line. Or maybe they go to White Line and they go to Theodore's. Or maybe they stop at the Deans and come to White Line. That's exactly what we want. We want people on the ground looking at the good bones of the city of Springfield and recognizing there are a number of attractions, and we want to just be one of those attractions.
All right. So how many different flavors now? And how do you come up with these anyway, the names and the flavors?
Yeah, it's pretty creative. Sometimes it's just, you know, you're driving in a car and an idea hits you. And then, you know, I'll go to Mike, our brewer, and say, hey, Mike, what do you think about this? Or, you know, one of the team members may say, oh, we got this beer coming out, but we don't have a name. What do you think about this name? So it's a full approach. We even have friends that have named a couple of our beers. So, you know, we reach out, we ask, we inquire, we get feedback. But, you know, as far as the styles that we have right now in a tap room, there are, I think 12 or 13 different beers that are on, and it's important for us to have various styles. So, you know, we have the IPAs, we have the sours, we have the fruit beers, we have the German wheat beers, we got a Pilsner coming online, because there are a number of palates out there that you have to be able to cultivate and have them come in and support you. Everyone's not going to gravitate towards one style of beer. And we want as many people to enjoy what we have. So Mike knows the importance of creating a robust portfolio of styles that can cater to the robust palates that are out there.
And what about White Lion Wednesdays? You've started those up again this summer. Or are we going to see those on a regular basis? Or?
So the beer garden right now is, which a lot of people know, was White Lion Wednesday. That particular theme remains in play. However, we're switching it from an outdoor beer garden to White Lion Wednesday will be our live entertainment in the tap room. So every Wednesday, people will have an opportunity to come into the tap room. There will be live entertainment, either acoustic, a band, a DJ, a comedian, spoken word, poetry, whatever it may be. But every Wednesday, people will have an opportunity to know that if they're in the greater Springfield area or Springfield and want to go out or step out, White Lion will have something available for them. We are doing outdoor events, even though it may not be in Tower Square Park. We're very fortunate enough to have a partnership with MGM Springfield that allows us to pour craft beer, not only White Lion, but other craft beer from the smaller breweries in the area in their plaza at the Free Music Fridays. And then we also have partnered with our good friends over at the Springfield Business Improvement District, which is kicking off its Thursday music series that affords us an opportunity to pour White Lion and some other beers in partnership with commercial distributing over in Westfield. So, you know, even though we don't have the garden going, we do have an outdoor presence, and we also have a pop-up beer garden every Friday in Westfield.
Well, you're to be applauded for your persistence and getting through. It's been a long year and a half, but do you want to talk about that a little bit? I mean, you had COVID got in the way of a lot of things, and there are probably days when you had to wonder whether this was going to happen and whether this was all going to work, and you came through it. Do you want to talk about that some?
Absolutely, George. Great question. Thank you for allowing me to touch on that. Our original goal was to open in May or June of 2020. We had started construction. We were what we thought as a team starting to really fire on all cylinders. Our sales were going up during the latter part of 2019, heading into 2020. January, February were good months, which happened to be usually in the trade months that go sideways just because of the season. But we were hammering it out, and then everything came to a standstill in March and April. We slowed down and basically stopped construction. There were a lot of unknowns. Even our good friends at liquor stores and package stores had no clue what was going to happen. They did not know if they were going to be essential businesses or not. Obviously, the hospitality industry took a tremendous hit. Restaurants, some restaurants still won't make it back. I mean, there's a number of restaurants that just won't open up again. And some of them were our partners. We have accounts that just won't open again. And it's devastating to see and witness that. But we pushed through. We did some of the things that we didn't want to do or envision doing. We had to furlough and lay off employees. We went back down to basically bare bones staff. It was me, Mike, and we went from 3 full-time salespeople to a half-time salesperson. And I went back to slinging beer and delivering whatever I could deliver in our van. And Mike tried to keep the liquid moving in our tanks. And then the government and the city and other stakeholders started to step forward and assist small business. So we were able to slowly bring people back online. And we were slowly starting to see, really what the pandemic and what the virus was all about. And we started to, construction started again. And, we fast forward several months or close to a year now. And we're in a position where we're a lot more comfortable. But, you still got to be very careful and very cautious out there. There are still a number of people that are very careful in their approach and are very cognizant of what's still out there and are still hesitant to be in large crowds, rightfully so. So, I always say to the team and whoever I get an opportunity to talk about the pandemic with is in our space, and I'm not speaking for everyone, but in our space, I still say, we're probably still a year and a half away from complete normalcy where people are comfortable again. And so as we even go through this journey of opening up and entering the latter part of the year, entering 2022, we still have to be careful from a business perspective. We have to be very strategic and mindful of what we've learned getting to this point.
Well, mindful of what you've learned, I think that was a good way to put it. I think a lot of people learned a lot of difficult lessons during the pandemic, but I think they also learned that nothing's easy. You've got to be persistent. You've got to hang in there. And you've certainly been a great example of that. I wish you well. It's like I said at the top, it's a great story. I think it's one of the better stories happening in Springfield right now. So continue. Good luck to you. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. We'll revisit this.
It doesn't happen without a team. I just want to put that out there. I mean, there's a great team behind White Lion. There's a great amount of support. So we're very appreciative of it. So thank you, George.
Okay. Keep up the good work. And we'll see you soon.
All right. Thank you,
And thank you all of you for joining us. This has been another episode of Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local. I'm George O'Brien, the editor of Business West. We'll see you next time.